verse 13 and 14. As you're turning there, I'd like to explain a couple of the Roman soldiers' implements that we'll be looking at later. This is a machaira in the Greek, and a Roman soldier usually carried two swords. He carried a machaira, and this was for close combat. And in those days, hand-to-hand combat, that was how most of the battles were fought in that way. But he also carried a ramphia. This is the Roman ramphia, the big, large, double-edged sword. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any what? Two-edged sword. So two types of weapons that the Roman soldier carried, a machaira and a ramphira. We'll be talking about that when we come to the sword of the Spirit. Oh, that's cute. All right. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 and 14. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. We're going to be looking at the loins girt about with truth this morning. And if you see the picture in your study notes, what you have there is the Roman belt. It was a big, broad belt, but it also had fingers going down on it. It had several different names that they called it there, but we need to understand that we are in a spiritual battle every day as we move from place to place. The devil wants to trip us up. His demons are there to try and get us to lose our testimony, and we're told that if we're going to be victorious, we have to put on the whole armor of God. We don't leave pieces of it off. We put the whole armor of God. We must put on every piece that we'll be studying. And we live in an evil day, and we can be victorious. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? I'm telling you, as believers, God is for us. God wants us to be victorious. He wants us to be able to face the challenges of life. And believe me, I don't need to tell any of you, but we're all going to face the challenges of life. If we're not facing one now, we will. Because sometimes we're on the mountaintop, but most of the time we're fighting day by day with different things that come into our life. But Paul had it in mind that we need to put on the belt of truth. Now, we're not looking at medieval armor. We're looking at Roman armor. And the first piece that is mentioned is in 6:14. It says, stand therefore, having your loins. This whole area here, having your loins girt about with truth. And so this isn't just a fancy piece of, you saw me in my dress military uniform several weeks ago on Veterans Day and all that kind of stuff. Well, you don't go to battle with a dress uniform. This is really for fighting what we're talking about here. And this belt of truth was an important piece of armor. It's listed first. It's crafted of tough leather strips and small brass plates for extra protection. It wrapped around the loins, and it clung closely to the shoulder, to the soldier. It shielded some of the most vulnerable parts of his body. It makes sense for a soldier to put that on first, because if the soldier is wearing a tunic, and a tunic is usually longer, and you can look at the last parts of the study note, when they talk about girding up the tunic, the long part, they would reach down and pull it up, and then they would reach the other side, and then what they would do is they would tuck it in their belt, because you can't run, you can't fight in a tunic, because it'll trip you up. So prior to engaging in combat, the tunic would be stuffed under the belt so that it could have the maximum use of your legs. The belt was cinched up, and it also, you put your sword in it and on it. and you are ready to go for battle. Now, let's talk about the application spiritually, if we might. The belt cinches up all the spiritual loose ends, and that belt is truth. It is truth. Now, what we're talking about is God's word. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So the belt that protects us, we've got two things. The sword of the Spirit, which is an offensive weapon. You take the sword of the Spirit, either one of these, and you go out and you go into battle. I don't want to scare him there, so I won't run down on the floor. But nonetheless, but this one, the belt, this is a defensive weapon. Defensive weapon. So you've got to get the word of God into you. Truth is a defensive weapon. The Christian soldier needs to firmly be established in the Word of God. That's why I harp on you all the time. Are you having your daily devotions? Are you in the Word of God yourself? Because it is the truth. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews that believed on him. Listen to this now. If ye continue in my word, you say, well, I've read through the Bible once. It's not enough. Well, I read the Bible once last week. It's not enough. How many of you ate food more than once last week? Yes. How many of you ate too much? Never mind. But it very clearly says, he said unto the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, that's a day-by-day thing, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You're not going to be deceived when somebody tells you a lie, somebody gives you a false doctrine, somebody tries to lead you in error. If you have the truth in your head, you're not going to be deceived by that. That is the girt of truth. They're not going to be able to get you. They're not going to be able to get you sidetracked. They're not going to be able to lead you into sin because you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But you know what sin does? Sin puts you in bondage. But when you have the truth, that's why I think the first thing that's listed here, there's other very important things, but the first thing that's listed here is the girdle of truth. The girdle of truth. Now, we need that belt of truth because Satan is a liar. John 8:44 says he is a liar and the father of it. God's truth protects us and protects our minds from believing a lie. You know, the devil focuses on attacking God's promises. He wants to get us to doubt God's word, just like in Eden. Yea, hath God said? You know, sometimes the things that God says doesn't exactly make sense to us. Isn't that right? But God is the one who made us. God knows best how we function, and God knows best how to protect us. The devil, yea, hath God said. But you're not going to be deceived if you know God's truth. You know, the enemy wants to get us on the slippery slope of doubting God's integrity. That's what he wants. Oh, it doesn't apply to me. It doesn't apply to me. Is that really true? You see, we have a whole bunch of people who are in that boat today. They want to pick and choose what they believe about the Word of God. And yet, the Bible says every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Now, you know, I've used the illustration before, but it says, pray for them that despitefully use you. You know what I'd rather do? I'd rather smack them alongside the head. And yet, that isn't what God said, because he knows what is best for us. Usually that compounds things. When somebody gets mad at you and lets you have it with both barrels, boom! You want to go back and give them that in kind. But then you know what the Lord has the audacity to say? He says, Brown! A soft answer turns away wrath. But I'd rather say, hey! And let him have it. But you see, God knows what is best. And that's why we need our loins girt about with truth. The devil, very clearly, as we've shared with you before, the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. I'm amazed at all of the New Age philosophy and the Old Age mysticism today, and they're trying to get you involved in occultic things and candy coat it, and it's trying to make it look so peaceful and so restful, but then when the devil gets a hook into you, then he drags you where you do not want to go. And his ministers are, well, disguised as ministers of righteousness. We see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 15. They want to spoil you. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Colossians 2 and verse 8. Here's what the Bible says. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. The word spoil there means to take your mind captive. I am so sad how the minds of people, and particularly our young people today, are being taken captive, being spoiled by human philosophies. One of the biggest ones is the philosophy of evolution. That is a theory, and it has been taught as truth. It is all over the National Geographic station. It's all over the books. It's all over the news. Everybody believes that man is just a higher functioning animal. I want to tell you that God created man to have a living soul, and it is going to live on forever. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the forever place that you're going to is the hell that was not even created for you. It was created for the devil and his angels. You know, why does God send people to hell? Well, it's man who sinned, and the wages of sin is what? Death. That's physical sin, and that's physical death, and that's spiritual death, separation from God. But I'll tell you, God doesn't want anybody to go there. The Bible is very clear. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's just like man who makes a huge ship. I spent a lot of time studying the Titanic, and they said that was the unsinkable ship. And then it hit an iceberg, and guess what? You can see pictures of it at the bottom of the sea now. And I forget, 1,500 people died. You don't blame God for that. In fact, the shipbuilder said, not even God can sink this ship. But you know what? God has provided a life saver for everybody, a life preserver for everybody. And you know what it is, because as a church, we try and get that out. That's why we support missionaries. That's why we go out on visitation every Thursday in the good weather. That's why we try and get the gospel out with the tracts that you have there, because we don't want anybody to go to a crisis eternity in hell. And there is a life preserver, but you have to personally grab onto it. Throw out the lifeline, and that's what Jesus Christ is. Now say it with me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, the devil wants to keep the gospel hid. If our gospel be hid, it is hid unto them who are lost. And I've had so many people through the years of ministry, almost 50 now, but 48 and a half years of ministry, I've had so many people say, it's just too simple. Well, God didn't want to make it complicated. I just bought a gift for Christmas for my wife in the mail. And you know what? It came in the mail, and she's not going to have to jump any hoops to get it. Come Christmas, I am just going to give it to her. No strings attached. I'm not going to say, oh, now, honey, you got to get up and you got to wash the dishes, you got to clean the toilet, and then I don't feel like shoveling the snow today, so honey, if you want this gift, go out and shovel the snow. No, what we, she would say to me, well, this, never mind. You see, salvation is meant to be simple. So simple that a child can trust Christ as Savior. And I don't know why people get their hackles up. I've got so many people who get their hackles up when you try and just tell them there's a simple gift waiting for you. All you have to do is receive it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can think that's too simple, but if you pass over that gift and do not receive it, then you have determined your destiny, which will be the lake of fire for all of eternity. I'm just telling you, the simple gift available to you. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would urge you to do it today. But see, so many people are deceived today. Evolution makes us just an animal. But then what about humanism? Humanism as is got into the minds, even of so many Christian, the needs of man are most important. That's what humanism, man is the measure of all things. Nothing more is important than me, myself, and I. In fact, I go to the store just to hold my own hand. Then there's the big one. And I don't want you to get all caught up on it. I mean, everybody needs money. But don't make money your God. There's materialism. Materialism, money, and possessions are of top priority, more important than God. That's just not true. The love of money. Money is not the root of all evil. We wouldn't be able to exist without money. It's not money that's the root of all evil. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. You've got to keep things in focus. I remember how I used to do it. Boy, oh boy, I was going to show you, but I left my wallet at home. That's good. I got my jackknife, but not my wallet. You know, I used to do it, go out and charge a bunch of stuff for Christmas and then pay it off until November the next year. You know what? You don't have to keep up with the Joneses. You know what? I'll just tell you something. Be modest, be discreet, give gift, but remember what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about God giving us his son. You know, I'm going to have little to do with the fat fairy, ho ho. But I'm going to have a whole lot to do about my loving Savior, Jesus Christ. And that should be our focus. There's a lot of people who are hooked up on hedonism. They spend so much money on pleasure. Pleasure is the priority. You'll see that pleasure doesn't fill the bill. And then there is rationalizing relativism. Relativism, there's so many people who say there are no absolutes. I'm going to be teaching through the Ten Commandments starting this evening. And a lot of people say, well, there aren't any really absolutes. They might be okay for you, but for me it's different. No. God has told us there are some do's and don'ts. You can like it, you can lump it, you can deny it, but there are some thou shalt and there are some thou shalt not, and they have been established by the creator of the universe who made us, and you don't have to like them, but they're there and we are supposed to obey them, period. Relativism is wrecking our culture. Then there is pragmatism. The end justifies the means. I'll not spend a whole lot of that to a lot of people. Well, if it works, do it. Well, maybe, but if it doesn't line up with the scripture, it doesn't matter if it works. If the scripture says you shouldn't do it, then don't do it. And then one you probably haven't heard a lot about, but we live in a day of political things where Machiavellianism is the word of the day. Nobody's using the word, but you know what it is? Machiavellianism is using deceit and lying to accomplish your own agenda and to reach your own ends. It doesn't matter about the lies you tell or what you have to do or who you have to walk over. As long as it meets your own ends, that's all right. No, it's not. But there's so many people who have been deceived by that, and too many Christians are beguiled by, good-sounding words and fair speeches. Some people just know how to oil slippery words. Have you been watching some of the commercials on television? I'm amazed at how many things I can do without that they say I have to have. I mean, they make them look so good. They know how to oil those slippery words. Oh, you owe it to yourself. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of the devil." What are those? Evolutionism, humanism, materialism, hedonism, relativism, pragmatism, Machiavellianism, and a number of others. How are you going to protect yourself? I'll tell you what, you need the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Without your loins girded about with the truth, here's what's going to happen. Oh, I was going to shake this pulpit all over, but there's water and everything. You're going to toss to and fro. There we go. Well, you laugh at that, but so many people, without the loins girded about with truth, they're tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. And you know what happens? Their life ends up in chaos and in a mess. Peter wrote that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You know what that is? That's the belt of truth. Now, it's not going to tell you how to make a gun, so don't go to the Bible for that. It's not going to tell you how many teeth are in a horse's mouth, but it is going to tell you about your personal relationship with God and your personal relationship with others. And that's why we need it to keep our feet firmly on the rock. A couple of weeks ago, I made you sing, "The wise man built his house upon" what? "The rock." And you know what? When the rains came and the flood came, the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man, he builds his life on the sand. Humanism, pragmatism, evolutionism, relativism. He builds his life on the sand. And then, when the difficult times come, those philosophies give way. And that's why it's so important that we be protected from evil with having on ourselves the belt of truth. Truth is essential. Truth is so essential. And truth is personified in Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." I'm thankful for the truth that is verified by the Holy Spirit. Now that Jesus is gone, John chapter 16, verse 13 through 15, it says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he heareth, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me, Jesus says, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. You know what the Holy Spirit does for the believer? He makes this book come alive. The Word of God is quick. You know what that means? It's alive. I have 3,000 books in my library. I'm needing to get rid of a whole bunch of them, so I will probably have a bunch out there so that you can take them. But you know what? There's only one book in my library that's alive. The Word of God is what? Quick. That means alive and powerful. I don't mean that the ink on the page. No. As you read this, the Holy Spirit applies this to your life and can strengthen you and change your life. I just want to warn you, we've got to stop and have the blessing of coming to the Lord's table. But if you leave this piece of armor off, you are vulnerable to be believing lies. If you leave off the belt of truth, if this isn't here, and you don't apply it here, and you leave that belt off, you're going to believe lies. You're going to believe lies, and you're going to get on that slippery slope. Well, let me give you an example. Once you get lies into your life and start believing them, your life starts falling apart. I think of King David. When he should have been warring, he's just kind of lounging around in the top of his palace, and he's looking down and sees a beautiful naked woman taking a bath, and then he orders that she be brought to him, and then he has an adulterous affair with her, and then he tries to cover it up, and for a whole year he lied about it and sinned, and nothing went right in his life. And we read about it in Psalm 32, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth no iniquity, and in whom and whose spirit is no guile." And then he says this, "While I kept silent," he covered his sin, "while I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy on me. My moisture was turned into drought." You can read more about it in Psalm 51. I just want to tell you, please, there's no time like the present. If you aren't getting this belt of truth gird about in your life, start making a Bible reading plan. I don't care how you do it. I don't care if you read 10 verses a day. My wife has heard Ephesians chapter 6 in our study and Exodus chapter 20. She's probably been through them, and we talk through them probably 20 times in our personal devotions. But I want to have it in here so as I'm preaching, I can make it alive to you. I don't care how you want to do it. Read some of the Old Testament, some of the Psalms, some of the New Testament. But I want to challenge you, if you are not daily, say, get that record from skipping in the Word. Get in the Word. Because that's your belt of truth. You know what it's going to do? It is going to shield you from the lies of the devil that are every place today.